Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, dear saints of God. Good afternoon and welcome to another weekly edition of the End Time News Report with the one and only Sister Marie. Well, that was Chelsea Moon and the Franz Brothers singing What a Wondrous Love. That selection, of course, was sent over by Sister Marie. And what a beautiful song. What a beautiful, it's a beautiful song, but beautifully sung. And the instruments are just fantastic. Well, we have another wonderful broadcast in store for you now. I got to warn you in advance, and I'm warning you so that you can be praying. The internet here is very, very, very spotty. Very spotty. The internet comes in and it comes out, so I'm hoping we're able to do this show without, you know, going off the air. I'm just hoping that for the next 2 hours we can take care of gospel business and do this program as scheduled. Well, Sister AJ's back. You know, Sister AJ suffered a death in her family. And Sister AJ traveled to the wake, was there with the family. It was a bittersweet for her because she saw people that that family members she hadn't seen in a while. But then, of course, they're all there gathered, not for a family reunion, which is the happy kind, but rather a sad and somber one. But Sister AJ is back home. She's going to be in studio tomorrow at 2 o'clock. So we look forward to her series, and let us continue to pray for Sister AJ and her family who are, you know, grieving. And it's okay to grieve. It's okay to mourn. In fact, the Bible does not prevent us from mourning or grieving. It simply says that we do not mourn as those who have no hope. We have a hope in Christ Jesus. Now, those who don't have a hope in Christ Jesus, they're really going out of their minds because they know where that person landed, and it's not a pretty place. So we mourn. Yes, we mourn, but not like those who don't know Jesus. So if you're in need of prayer, send us your prayer request at powerofprayer2018@gmail.com, powerofprayer.com. 2018@gmail.com. I promise to pray for you. That's all we can basically do. Pray for you, teach you the word, admonish you, encourage you. But if you have someone praying for you, that is a great advantage, a great, great spiritual advantage. Well, I think we've covered everything. Without any further ado, let me bring on my dear sister. Sister Marie, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. And how are you?
And how's the weather? All right. How's the weather by you?
Great. It's warm and sunny.
Okay, so we'll
every
get
Tuesday.
That tomorrow. Yeah,
every Tuesday.
We'll get that tomorrow then, hopefully.
Yeah,
hopefully.
You should.
Yeah, absolutely.
In a few hours.
In a few hours, yeah.
Yep.
So you sent me something over on the Bronx Tale, Chad Palminteri, and so share with the audience.
I haven't listened to it yet. I was going to. I wrote down, I said, I'm going to listen to this. This sounds interesting because I love the Bronx Tale. I love the movie. So the
right.
star of the movie was in that, being interviewed by these former New York retired New York police officers or lieutenants
right.
or whatever. And I got all set, you know, you get your popcorn ready.
I
found out it was 2 days. So it hasn't gone up yet. So I thought it would be interesting to watch because I really love that movie.
I love
the gangster movies.
Let me tell you something. My wife, whenever The Godfather's on, I have to leave because that's all she wants to do. She wants to do see The Godfather, she wants to see Casino, Goodfellas,
yeah.
The Bronx
yep.
Tale, And I'm sick of those movies. I'm sick of them. Because, you know, how many times can you watch something like that? I mean, how many times?
Well, that's right in your neighborhood, though, bro. See?
Yeah, well,
that's your backyard.
That was her neighborhood where the movie came, because she's from the Bronx. I'm from Brooklyn.
Yeah.
She's a Yankee fan. I'm a Met fan. So,
right.
You know, for her birthday, I don't remember when, but for her birthday, I bought her the tickets for the Broadway play, The Bronx Tale.
Oh, wow.
And I took her to the play. You know, and boy, was I scoring big points with that. I mean, you know,
yes,
I mean, that
exactly.
was so the curtain comes up and it's just Chad Palminteri. And I said, what a jip. Well, I said, what a jip. It was a one man show.
Oh, wow.
I said, where are the other guys? I want my money back. Well, my wife loved it. Because he did all the voices. He did all the gangster voices. You know, it was a one-man show. So at the end of the day, I mean, I said, boy, they ripped me off because the tickets were expensive. But he did all the parts, you know.
Wow.
He did all the mobster voices. And my wife couldn't thank me enough. And we were
you better share that with your wife.
Yeah.
You better share that with your wife.
Absolutely.
You know?
Well, I'm going to, of course I got to share it with her, but I'm leaving. You know, I'm going to let her watch it, and I'm going to go find something to do because she'll be glued. You know?
I find it strange. Everybody, we lived in a world where, you know, especially in, you know, where you live, where the mob was, you know, until the RICO laws and stuff, the mob was rampant, you know, and
right,
you witnessed
sure.
things over there that, you know, where I live,
sure.
you would not see that in my area. So I'm fascinated by it, but I'm more fascinated that these mob people are now on the internet. They have YouTube channels. And you're saying, how do these guys who murdered people, you know, and committed all those crimes, how do they get an internet channel, a YouTube channel with all these subscribers, you know? And so they've gone from the streets to the internet.
Right.
It's crazy. It's crazy. And they're on with police officers, half
right.
of them who arrested them.
Right.
You know,
right.
is it a weird world or what?
Yeah, because, again, in the mob world, you're not supposed to say anything. You're not to, you know, not even in passing.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're all telling their story, and none of them are getting clipped. None of them are getting killed.
Yeah.
So
that's right.
It's interesting. It's an interesting world, the mob world.
Yes.
It's full of demons, of course. And, you know, those men are wicked, they belong to a secret society, and they take a blood oath, and, you know, they sell their souls to the devil and all that stuff. But my wife here, she can't get enough of that stuff. She just can't get enough. I said, you married
well,
the
you
wrong guy, because I'm not a mob guy, you know. I'm not, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But she, you know.
You want to know, you know, you want to know what happened behind the scenes sometimes.
Right.
And they cannot be prosecuted, you know, for a lot of the things that they did now. So they, you know, and they don't really care anymore. So, you know, what you're,
right.
Sammy the Bull, they had Sammy the Bull on. I mean, come on.
Look at that.
He's got his own YouTube channel.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Sure.
I found it interesting. That's all. You know.
Yep.
So.
Yep. Well, the missus is going to love it. She's going to love it. So I'll be
I want to warn her. Those police swear a bit.
Oh,
you know.
Listen. When you walk down the streets of the Bronx, that's all. Grandmothers swear. You know, everybody's swearing in the Bronx, you know?
it's right up her alley then.
And that's where she's from. She's from the Bronx. She's got her own Bronx tale, that one. That one's got her own Bronx tale. So,
I'd love to hear it.
So, all right. So we have today's show. We got news. We have some news. We have a little bit of everything today.
Yeah, we're going to finish up the Church of Black Lives Matter with Daryl Harrison and Virgil Walker of Just Thinking Ministries. And then we're going to move on to some news stories. There's about 10 or 11 minutes of the audio left. And I have that listed as audio 1A because I sent audios over to you. And I forgot and listed one as 1. And I forgot we needed to finish this. So I put 1A on this, one we need to start with.
Not a problem.
You know, it's been a while since I've done the news, and you have to pull that from all different areas in your bookmarks, you know, your mail. You might have them in a file, you know, so it takes a while, and I forgot. Well, in conclusion, I would say that there's nothing in this group that benefits black lives. In fact, I think it's going to destroy more lives than it would ever help. I see nothing, you know. In it, good. But I think our brothers said it back when they summed it up like this. BLM's theology is racism. Its soteriology is Marxism. And its eschatology is socialism. And we know their religious practice is ancestor worship. So if you just take that, I mean, that sums it up. What say you?
Yeah, I mean, this has been a great audio that we've been listening to now for a couple of weeks. The brothers do an excellent job of exposing the spiritual dimension of Black Lives Matters, because now, as per their report and as per their research, they dug up the core beliefs of the organization, the core beliefs which are spiritual in nature. In addition to that, the founding leaders of Black Lives Matters are into all of this African type, you know, pagan worship.
Mm-hmm.
So that permeates the whole organization, and Black Lives Matters does nothing for black lives. It does nothing for the ones who are dead. It does nothing for the black people who are dead. But it does a lot for the black people who sit on top of the pyramid and are hearing the cash register go ka-ching, ka-ching. So, it's a racket. It's another organization that is nothing more than a money-making racket.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it is. Plain and simple.
There's just, you know, no way it can be called Christian. And in fact, it pulls people away from Orthodox Christianity, you know, if you embrace it. So a long way away from it. And I just want to remind people of something. We did a story a while back, and I just, you know, I thought of it just yesterday or the day before. I thought about this, and I thought, we did a story on the biggest slave owners in the United States and that owned buildings, you know, to slave quarters, I would say, in the United States. That was the Roman Catholic Church.
Right.
Because if you remember, when BLM come out, they had to apologize. They were apologizing. So you have to remember, a lot of this is connected to Rome. The last person, I was really shocked by that, how Rome had their hands in that.
Yeah.
They were selling buildings. They said they were going to sell some of the buildings and, you know, donate it to BLM and all this kind of stuff. And we did a news story on that. And so, you know, thinking of that, you know, what else can you say?
Yeah, it's again, it's a wonderful expose on the hidden spiritual nature of BLM. which mm-hmm. is an organization being led by demons.
Yes.
Right? Now,
yep.
most people don't know that. I didn't know it until you brought the video or the audio to the show.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know what BLM was about. Now I have a little bit more of a sure footing, but I didn't
right.
know.
Yeah.
So now I'm educated. Now I know it's a wicked organization and one to stay away from, one not to support
right.
it, one not to identify, one to just completely stay away from.
And once we know we are responsible, you know, so we know now, and we're responsible not to get involved in this or to, you know, at least tell other people or to warn other people, you know, to stay away. We know not to get involved in it, but other people, you know, we need to share this.
Right.
Because we want people to understand, you know, how demonic this can be or will
mm-hmm.
end up being in their lives.
Right.
So,
right.
Chico
right.
just jumped on my lap or something yeah. out of nowhere.
See, now Chico knows you're doing a show, and he heard, he knows we haven't mentioned his name, so he does
yes.
what he does to get a mention, see?
Yeah.
See? Chico is a glory hound. He's not just a
yeah.
hound. He's a glory hound. He wants recognition.
Yeah.
That's what he wants.
Yeah, he's
yeah.
the show guy.
That's it.
Yeah, he
that's
just jumped
it.
Out of nowhere. My lap,
that's
I thought,
it.
Where'd he come from? Okay.
Yeah.
So so if you hear snoring or anything like that, it's Chico. He's sitting here. He's
yep.
kissing my hand right now to make, you know, so that I won't
Absolutely.
Kick him off the chair.
Absolutely.
Okay. So what we'll do is we'll play. Let's go. I think it was 2:15. Again, Virgil was making a point. So can we go to 2:14:53 and just finish it out, and then we'll get on
sure.
to some news?
Okay, here it is.
Only, what, 11 minutes or something?
Yeah, here it is.
Okay.
Life. When you wake up and you're black, that is what it is. It shouldn't be a movement. It should be a lifestyle. This is who we are. Unquote, James said, quote, and we understand that, and we know that for one step someone else might have to take, we know we got to take five more steps. But also, that's what's making us strong. It makes us powerful. It makes us so unique and unified that we have had so much hardship in our life, either from personal experiences or loved ones or reading history, unquote, James added. Now, I have no doubt that when LeBron James says things like, quote, much hardship in our life, unquote, and talks about, quote, unquote, reading history, I have no doubt that what he's alluding to there is the enslavement of black people in America. Now, you and I sort of had a little bit of a discourse on that a few minutes ago, but just as an aside, I want to clear something up for the sake of history. Okay, just for the sake of history's sake, as it relates to the history of slavery in America, and say that although slavery unarguably flourished and was most profitable in the South in America, slavery in America was first codified into law in the North, not the South, okay? It was first codified into law. I want to emphasize that. Slavery in America was first codified into law in the North, not the South. 1641, this is the year. The year 1641, Massachusetts is the first colony to legalize slavery in the year 1641. In the year 1650, Connecticut legalizes slavery. In the year 1663, Maryland legalizes slavery. The year 1664, New York and New Jersey both legalize slavery. The year 1700, Pennsylvania legalizes slavery. In the year 1715, Rhode Island legalizes slavery. So we're talking many, many years before the first southern state legalized slavery. Slavery had already been codified into law in the North. But when I think about people like LeBron James and others like him whose seeming indignation over the violence black people face in America is so selective, right, and so subjective as to be inflamed only in situations where the perpetrator of such violence is white. I'm reminded of this book, of the book by Booker T. Washington titled My Larger Education, which he published in 1911. I want our listeners to stay with me here on this. In that book, in his book, My Larger Education, Washington tells a story that encapsulates what he thought was wrong with so many quote-unquote black leaders and their guilt-ridden white supporters, who he referred to as, quote, problem profiteers, unquote, okay? In My Larger Education, Washington tells this story, quote, he says, a story told me by a colored man in South Carolina will illustrate how people sometimes get into situations where they do not like to part with their grievances. In a certain community, there was a colored doctor of the old school who knew little about modern ideas of medicine, but who in some way had gained the confidence of the people and had made considerable money by his own peculiar methods of treatment. In this community, there was an old lady who happened to be pretty well provided with this world's goods and who thought that she had a cancer. For 20 years, she had enjoyed the luxury of having this old doctor treat her for that cancer. As the old doctor became, thanks to the cancer and to other practice, pretty well-to-do, he decided to send one of his boys to a medical college. After graduating from the medical school, the young man returned home and his father took a vacation. During this time, the old lady who was afflicted with the, quote, cancer, unquote, called in the young man who treated her. Within a few weeks, the cancer, or what was supposed to be the cancer, disappeared, and the old lady declared herself well. When the father of the boy returned and found the patient on her feet and perfectly well, he was outraged. He called the young man before him and said, quote, my son, I found that you have cured that cancer case of mine. Now, son, let me tell you something. I educated you on that cancer. I put you through high school, through college, and finally through the medical school on that cancer. And now you, with your new ideas of practicing medicine, have come here and cured that cancer. Let me tell you, son, you have started all wrong. How do you expect to make a living practicing in medicine that way? Unquote. Washington went on to say, quote, I am afraid that there is a certain class of race problem solvers who don't want the patient to get well, because as long as the disease holds out, they have not only an easy means of making a living, but also an easy medium through which to make themselves prominent before the public. There is another class of colored people who make a business of keeping the troubles, the wrongs, and the hardships of the Negro race before the public. Having learned that they are able to make a living out of their troubles, they have grown into the settled habit of advertising their wrongs, partly because they want sympathy and partly because it pays. Some of these people do not want the Negro to lose his grievances because they do not want to lose their jobs, unquote. That was Booker T. Washington from his book, My Larger Education. Now, and such is Black Lives Matter, right, Omaha? And the entire culture of perpetual black grievance. Black Lives Matter doesn't want people to get well. They don't want black people to get well. They don't want black people to be healed of their cancer. And what is that cancer? That cancer is a deep-seated hatred of and disdain for white people who, like them, have been created in the image of God. Now, someone may be asking themselves, after listening to us now for a couple of hours, someone would be asking themselves, so Darryl, what's the solution? What's the alternative to the quote-unquote church of Black Lives Matter? Well, I'm going to let my response to that question be these words from the great D. Martin Lloyd-Jones, who in his book Knowing the Times said this, quote, this is the answer, folks. This is the answer to Black Lives Matter. Quote, we must present the Bible as the word of God, not the words of men, but the word of the living God. God speaking about himself, God speaking about men, God speaking about life, God telling us what he is going to do about a fallen world. That is what we need to preach with certainty, with assurance. Let us tell the people about its marvel, that though it contains 66 books written at different times and in different centuries, there is only one message in it. Let us tell them about fulfilled prophecy. Let us point out to them how things prophesied and predicted hundreds of years before the events were actually verified in the fullest and minutest detail. Let us tell them they do not know it. It is for us to proclaim the word of God, and especially at this critical time in our history. Let us tell people something about its message. It is the only book that explains life, Lloyd-Jones says. That the Bible is the only book that explains life. It is the only book that explains the world as it is today. The problem was, they said, that people did not know one another. If only they would all love one another and embrace one another. But we cannot live even a few seconds together. You see, there is no explanation except the explanation that is given in this book, unquote.
Amen.
That was D. Martin Lloyd-Jones from his book, Knowing the Times. So if anyone asks me, Darrell, what's the response to Black Lives Matter? What is the alternative to the church, to the religion of Black Lives Matter? There you have it from D. Martin Lloyd-Jones in his book, Knowing the Times. Omaha, you want to close us out, man?
Absolutely, man. We just unpacked for you with crystal clarity. The Church of Black Lives Matter, the religion of Black Lives Matter. It is indeed a religion. I would encourage you to share this with as many folks as possible so that we can make sure that the body of Christ is educated about this and that we're able to give a reason for the hope that we have in Christ Jesus and not in Black Lives Matter.
Can I interrupt you real quick, bro?
Yeah,
let me interrupt you real quick. Something just
hit me. Yeah.
I want to do this, man, before we roll out. I'm going to ask you.
Yeah.
I want to read a passage from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And then I want to ask you, brother, if you don't mind, if you would pray for the leaders of Black Lives Matter. I want to pray for Patrice Kalours. I want to pray for Opal Tometi. I want to pray for Alicia Garza. And you'll understand why after I read this passage from the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, starting at verse 3. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, light shall shine out in darkness, is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. That was 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 through 6. So, Omaha, if you would, man, I want to ask you to pray for the leaders of Black Lives Matter, that in accordance with what we just read from the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 4, that God, by his grace and mercy, would impart to them the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ.
Absolutely. God, we just, based upon the text of Scripture, we lift up these women who have been blinded by the enemy. Their eyes have been darkened. We ask for you to open their eyes to the light of the gospel, to the truth of the gospel, to the message of truth, of hope, that they can have and come to a full saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And we pray that for these women, that they would turn from their wicked ways, they would turn from this worship of Satan himself, and that you, by your Spirit, would draw them unto yourself. And so we lift them up to you. We ask you to do that, Lord God. I also pray for those who are listening to this particular episode, that they be transformed by the very renewing of their mind, as they've listened to the word of God shared in this space, on this subject, and that they would be conformed as a result of into the very image of your Son. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.
Appreciate that, Omaha. Now
thanks
you can close us out, bro.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thanks for listening to...
All righty. So there you have it.
Yes, there we have it. And, by the way, I sent you something today. that Patrice Colores, she was appointed as an L.A. County Commissioner. So the very system or establishment that they claim to dislike, she just became a member of.
Right.
Amazing.
Sure. Sure.
It's called cash. Yes. Yep.
Right? That's it.
Yep.
That's it.
That's what it's about. Okay. Now, did you hear that Pat Robertson's finally leaving after 60 years?
Where is he going, to Mars?
No. He's 91 now, and it's about 20 years old. He's 20-plus years overdue from stepping down, honestly. I looked back at a few things that he said, and I was reading an article about it, and I believe J.D. did this, but he told a Christian man. Now, he had question and answer program, right? And supposedly on Christian advice. And he told a man that it's okay to divorce his wife with Alzheimer's because she was basically mentally dead anyway. That was
wow.
His.
Wow.
He also said that Christians who believe in creationism are stupid. He blames wives for their husbands cheating on them, and so on, and so on, and so on. So, you know, he needed to step down like 50 years ago out of the 60.
Maybe
he never should have been there in the first place. I don't know, you know?
Yeah.
Here's the sad part. He's coming back once a month to, you know, give answers.
Sure.
To questions, you know.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. And the first question I want to ask him on the air is, why are you back? That would be the first question.
That's a good
why are you wasting your time? Why are you back? Go away. Go away.
Go home. Go home.
That's it.
Retire.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, go home to your wife. Go home to your wife and make sure she doesn't lose her mind.
Really?
Please.
Yeah, his son's taking over. No big surprise there.
Yeah, wow. I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
Oh, yeah, know
amazing.
What that is.
Amazing. Absolutely.
Okay, well,
absolutely.
It's official. It's official. DC Comics has confirmed that Superman is a sodomite.
Yep.
Became a social justice warrior, according to Tom Taylor, who writes the series. So it's not Clark Kent giving his commitment to Lois Lane anymore. No. It's John Kent, who's the new gay hero. This one battles for headlines such as stopping school shootings, protesting for illegals, and against deportation of refugees. So he also battles against wildfires caused by global warming and disrespect for the environment. So this is an Agenda 2130 Superman hero. So what do you have to say? Keep your comic books. They're worth a fortune.
Yeah.
Honestly.
You know, in real life, the gentleman who played Jimmy Olsen in the old black and white Supermans, he was gay. So, you know, Jack Larson, I think is his name.
Did he get killed or shot or something? Or am I thinking of some other superhero in Hollywood?
I don't know. Yeah.
Well, maybe I got the wrong superhero.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
But that guy was gay. So, if they made Jimmy Olsen gay, okay, but you see now look, If they tried to make Jesus gay, they tried to make Jesus, you know. So if they did that to Jesus, what can you expect of Superman? You know?
Yeah.
They don't have they don't have any regard for Jesus. So
that's
you
right.
Know, it's amazing. It's you know.
You know.
Pretty soon,
this
James
is an
Bond
infiltration.
Is gonna, what was that?
This is an infiltration of an agenda in the comic book. That's all it is.
Right.
You know.
Right. Well, it's in every area of life. You know, it's now it's
mm-hmm.
everywhere. You know.
Right.
You know, that's, you know, that's just the way it's going to be. It's going to be, you know, gay everything, you know?
Yeah.
That's it. You know, that's just the way the world's going. Right?
Yeah.
I mean,
it's the agenda itself.
Yeah.
Do you know Aleister Crowley? You know, this was an Aleister Crowley agenda a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's just coming to light now. Now, this Taylor said the idea of replacing Clark Kent with another straight white savior felt like a missed opportunity. New Superman has had to have some new fights, like real world problems
right,
that he could
sure.
stand up to. You know,
I can imagine. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a part of the agenda with the kids. You know, trying to. Ruin comic
yeah, sure,
books
sure.
now, you know.
Sure.
Catwoman became bisexual in 2015. Batwoman became a lesbian in 2006.
Sure.
So Bluebird, Barbara Keene, Tabitha Gallivan, is that it? They became bisexual, and the villains. Like Batman, or Batman's villains, like the Riddler, the Penguin, Poison Ivy, the Joker, Harley Quinn, they were all given LGBTQ storylines and were depicted as bisexual.
Right, right.
Can you believe this?
Yeah, it's look, it's the way, you know.
It's it's an attack on masculinity. This is what it is, you know.
Yeah,
and I find it strange that we can use they can use the word Superman, but we can't say manhole covers. You see, it's a one-sided attack.
Yeah, just change it from Superman to super homo. That's all.
super light on the slippers.
Yeah, Super Liberace, you know, just call him Super Liberace. Why stop, you know? It's laughable. What these people are just
super
so predictable.
Sod.
Yeah, yeah.
In
yeah,
England, you could be a sod, you know. That's a
yeah.
You call somebody a sod, that's bad. So we'll just call him Super Sod.
That's it. You know? Wow. Nothing sacred anymore. Nothing sacred.
Nope, not even
nothing
your comic
sacred.
Book.
Yeah. Nothing
like
sacred.
I said, men will be looking. They had the Comic Con or whatever. Is that a Comic Con in Detroit last weekend? And, I mean, the people, thousands of people I heard were out in droves.
Listen.
Trying to find real comic books.
That's it. When I go to Walmart, my wife will tell you. You ask my wife, when your husband go to Walmart, just ask her one day. Just say, where does he go when he goes to, where's the first place he goes to when he goes to Walmart? Just ask her, okay?
Yeah.
Then you can report, that could be part of your news show the next time. You can report back and tell the people where I go, okay? Just
I think
her.
I know a few things.
Yeah,
I think I know a few things.
Just ask her. Okay?
I think she's told me a few things.
Yeah, right. So,
we're not going there.
So when you say Comic-Con, please, I live that stuff.
I know.
That, you know, that's,
yeah.
You know, so that's it. I mean,
The streets were packed, I guess. You know, I mean, the people were out. This was a big event.
Sure, they're buying posters. They're buying T-shirts. They're buying action figures. They're buying everything they can scoop up.
Listen, if I go to any auctions or any garage sales or anything like that, you know, when we're out and about and I see one, I'll try to find comics and send them to you. Comics.
Yeah, you know, the thing is, you see, where I'm in the country here where I'm at, there's two country stores in the backwoods where they sell antique furniture and all that. You can pick up vintage comics for $2. Vintage.
Wow.
I mean, I am so blessed to live where I live because everything is so dirt cheap up here. Everything is so dirt cheap. You know, when people do garage sales, my wife, she knows I'm coming back with a train set. She knows I'm coming back with something. Something, you know, something, you know, that's it. She says, what, another train set? Yep. Another train set. You got it. That's it. So, you know, that's it. You know, you look for the deals. You look for stuff because
where I live, they look for things like that too. You know, they're out and about.
Sure.
You have to get out there the minute that sale opens to get
that's
good
it.
Things.
That's it.
You know,
that's it. You get there late, forget it. You get there late.
Yeah.
They took all the good stuff.
Yes.
All the good stuff. So no,
yeah.
I'm out there early. So, yeah, poor Superman.
Combing the farm.
Yeah, poor Superman. Poor guy.
Oh, yeah. Well, terrible. You know.
Yeah.
Well, what can we do? We just don't buy comics for the kids anymore. You know.
No, you
can't. It's terrible.
You can't. Yeah, you can't do it. It's sad.
You know, this whole thing is sad. You know, these
Absolutely.
Poor kids, they're going to be so confused. Unless, you know, they're raised in the way they should go. And when they're older, they'll not depart from it. So, I don't have sissy boys in my family.
No.
They were raised different.
Mm-mm. No.
They were raised different, so. Okay, we're going to go to the audio one now. Now, this came out Saturday, and I found it interesting because we did shows on this in the past. We did a show on the Heaven's Gate and another group that were New Age and waiting for an AI God. I think one of the earliest groups in a UFO cult was called I Am, believe it or not, and that's an exclusive name for God. And that was in the 1930s, somewhere in the 1930s, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Don't quote me on that, but I think it was.
Right.
Anyway, we've discussed the possibility of AI technology being used in the end time to mimic the second coming of Christ. You know, so I know it sounds funny, but it could be done now with all this, these holograms and things. But in this, Hugo talks, he had some information and a few theories on what this latest UFO agenda could be.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's amazing to me because all this month so far, what I've seen on TV was all about UFOs. You know, UFO movies.
Right.
On the old channels, they're going back years. And that was on the station, you know, some of the stations that have the old movies and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully, I don't think he uses any big swear words in this. He's not really known for that, but if he does, it's not a major, you know, not like the police.
Yeah.
On that one channel. So, anyway, it's 9 minutes and 24 seconds. But he says some interesting stuff in this. And I can agree with some of the things he talks about as far as the agenda goes. So, he's pretty good. Okay.
Okay, here it is.
You're listening to Hugo Talks. We have a lot of agendas going on in the world today, every day being pushed onto us. A lot of it coming through the media, but it turns up in films, in TV shows. It's hard to get away from it all. It's a long, long list of climate change, jab passports, digital currencies, technology taking away people's jobs, LGBTQ, Black Lives Matter, taking the knee. Oh my goodness, never has there been so much propaganda. But the oddest of all of these media-pushed agendas is the UFO one, the alien one. You must have noticed all of the UFO-related stories in the news. If you go back a few months, I believe back to June, there was tons of stories. There was an official document released by the Pentagon. Obama was talking about how we don't know what the aliens are. There was tons of stuff, and it's still going on. It's time to take the aliens more seriously, from The Guardian a few weeks back. And that's what the media are trying to do, trying to make the public take the concept of UFOs and aliens more seriously. They used to say it was a load of rubbish, and now it's time to take it seriously. But why are they doing this? What are they planning? I mean, it's anyone's guess. But without a shadow of a doubt, they are raising the profile in the media of UFOs and aliens in alignment with the US government releasing documents. There's an agenda to push this into, place it into the public's consciousness. So I would imagine if an announcement is made in the future, it will seem more believable. Anyhow, just to show how mad it's all getting, there is a new TV show in America called Unidentified with Demi Lovato. Demi Lovato is a US celebrity, a singer, I think, and she identifies as non-binary. Oh, yes. Which is fine, you know, it's absolutely fine. You can identify with whatever you want. Now, check this clip out.
Demi Lovato is standing up for extraterrestrials. The 29-year-old singer is revealing why they don't use the word alien when referring to extraterrestrial beings. Quote, I think that we have to stop calling them aliens because aliens is a derogatory term for anything. That's why I like to call them ETs. They told Pedestrian TV.
Yes, so this is interesting. This is a whole new level of bonkers. She believes the term alien is derogatory. It's just not accurate enough for Demi. In the world of LGBTQ, where they have, what, hundreds of different genders and different flags for every perceivable thing you can think of, now they are turning their attention to aliens. Oh, sorry, extraterrestrials. They don't like that term, alien. In fact, they are quite offended by it, so says Demi Lovato. And you know that this is all done on purpose in the media, again, you know, to get a bit of a sensationalist story, again, to raise the profile, to get people's attention on this subject, to get people talking about it, so that idiots like me make videos about it. But it's also a good excuse to bring up the very obvious UFO alien agenda in the mainstream media, which has been, well, pushed for a good year, I would say. This quote of what to call aliens is very odd, but also it could be seen as an attempt to make them seem more real, as mad as that seems, to make people say, oh, I wonder what they would like to be called if they have a preference. It's a way of humanizing the concept of them. But the question is why? Why are they pushing all this crapola? Are UFOs going to appear at some point in the future? Are we going to switch on the news and they'll be telling us UFOs have arrived and want to make contact? Is it all going to be a huge staged event? Is this what the Project Blue Beam NASA theory is all about? That's a conspiracy theory that's been around since 1994. I believe it originated from a Canadian called Sergei Monast from 1994. He stated NASA, with the help of the United Nations, was attempting to implement a new age religion with the Antichrist at its head and start a new world order via a technology simulated second coming of Christ. although some have said that it might be used to simulate the arrival of UFOs. He also stated, he said a Masonic group called 666 had for 20 years been gathering the world's powerful to establish the New World Order and take control of the minds of individuals. This was 1994. He died a couple of years later due to a heart attack, he says here, in 1996. Now, some of this talk has resurfaced of late to the point where the fact checkers have got involved, as you can see here. And the jury is in. They have decided that is false. So there you go. You've been fact checked. It's interesting that the fact checkers would go to the trouble of trying to debunk this 26-year-old theory, conspiracy theory, and do it now. Talking of new religions, this is the Vatican News back in June. Abrahamic Family House in Abu Dhabi to open in 2022. And look at it, it's pretty damn big. Look at the size of this thing. It says here, the cultural landmark in the United Arab Emirates capital, which will include a synagogue, a church, and a mosque, all combined together. It's meant to be a beacon of understanding and peaceful coexistence, inspired by the document on human fraternity. The Abrahamic Family House derives its name from the Old Testament biblical figure Abraham, who is recognized and greatly appreciated by Jews, Christians, and Muslims. It says something here about interfaith harmonious coexistence and how they are blending it all together. So this looks like an attempt at blending religions together. And this is overseen also by the Pope. Is the idea to slowly blend the religions together and then rename it as something else in the long run? Now, just another thing on the topic of aliens. You may have heard of this, maybe not, but I've always found it curious. Aliens, or greys, the way they look, the image of them, the big swollen head and the black eyes and the grey skin. The first time this particular look was reported on or featured anywhere in the media was in the late 1940s, and then more so in the 1960s by people claiming to be abducted by aliens. But what I find interesting is Aleister Crowley, the occultist, who went by the name of the Great Beast 666. I'm sure you are all aware of this entity. Apparently, he reckoned he summoned a demon in 1918, and what he saw, he made a painting of the entity, which he called Lamb, L-A-M, and this is the drawing he made, which looks very like the dimensions of the typical grey alien look, the one, you know, the image we've all got used to from the movies and from the TV shows. And you have to remember, that was back in 1918, a good 30 years before any reports in the 1940s about grey aliens and what they looked like. 30 years before that. 30 years before it appeared anywhere in the mainstream. Now, some people have said that maybe aliens are not from outer space, but actually reside on Earth, are actually demons or angels. Who knows? Or is it all a load of baloney? And is this whole UFO alien media coverage, is it all just pure distraction? Or are they building up to something? Let us know your thoughts in the comments. What do you think is going on? As always, thanks for listening. Come and subscribe to the tribe at hugotalks.com.
All right, my sister.
Well, I think that's interesting because that is Crowley's agenda. That's Luciferian. And part of the Agenda 21-2130 is to bring people into the Age of Enlightenment, okay? The mixing of religions together under this Enlightenment. And that's a part of it. The problem that they're having is resistance. This is why we're seeing people, they're demanding that people get shots, you know, get jabs, I'm sorry, you know, okay, that jab isn't good enough. We'll give you another one and then another one. This is all to break down resistance because it's that resistance within the people that is stopping the Age of Enlightenment coming in, and that's their bottom line. So what do you think?
Yeah, for years I've always suspected that the UFO phenomenon it was completely demonic. Again, think about this for a moment. Let's just put on our thinking caps. If UFOs, if aliens were real, right? Let's just say if the little blue men or the little gray men or the little orange men were real, or the little green men, they've given them different colors. If they were real, those and they had the technology that they claimed that they had, those jokers would be here showing themselves strong. They would just invade us, right? They wouldn't be doing anything secret. They just show up with their advanced technology and put us on the, in our place, enslave us, and take over the planet. Well, that's never happened.
Right.
I mean, that's you know. And well, they're hiding. What are they hiding for? They come from another world. They have superior technology. Their planes can outfly us and make us look stupid. What are you talking about hiding? They don't need to hide. You know, let's put it this way. When the mafia wants to take over, does the mafia hide? No. The mafia shows up with brute force and takes over what they want to take over.
Right.
Look at China right now. China is flying its planes over Taiwan, saying, "Hey, we're going to be taken over soon."
Mm-hmm.
China's already flexing its muscle, right? So whole theory about the little gray men playing peekaboo with us—that's nonsense.
Yeah,
these are demons.
Yeah,
that's it. Yep. They're demons,
and they're trying to introduce something. See. They're trying to introduce something here, I'm telling you right now, for this AI, this enlightenment, you know, stuff. I did find it interesting that they showed a building of the future there they want to build with the Jews, Islam, and Catholics together. Now, in Scripture, we know that the curtain was pulled in, and I can't remember, is that in Isaiah maybe? Was it Isaiah, Daniel, where the curtain is pulled back? And he saw them praying, and if you know, it was revealed how paganism was going on when the curtain was pulled, and the Lord showed them, you know, what was happening on earth, and they were bowing to Mary, sacrificing. That would be the Catholics, right? And then there was men bowing. That was the Islam, you know, and then they have the Jews in there. You know, what's going on? I wish I'd have pulled that scripture out, but that just came to me, thinking about that scripture, where it's at, because the curtain, that's the future. Pulled back the curtain and said, you know, look, this is what's going on, or this is what's going to happen here. And so when they showed the three buildings, I found that interesting. And I'll find that scripture for the next time. But, yeah, there is definitely an agenda going on here. Who knows? A lot of people will be fooled by that. And are they going to use technology for this? Absolutely. You know, we're going to see strange things maybe in the skies. We know that. Is it from God? No.
Listen, some of it not.
If we believe in
the God of the Bible, and we do.
Yes.
Again, you know, on Friday nights on the History Channel, they have a show called Alien. What is it called?
Alien Abduction.
No. Ancient aliens. There you go. Now, for weeks and weeks and weeks, I watched that stuff because I want to see what their arguments are. Their arguments are so weak. They said, we speculate, we think, we surmise.
Mm-hmm.
See, they don't have any concrete evidence. It's always,
right.
You know, and you know, that's why Hollywood made a killing with those flying saucer movies in the 1950s.
Right.
Right? I mean, they made a killing. They made a killing. Anytime you present...
The day the Earth stood still was on the other day.
Sure. Right. Yeah. So all those movies made a lot of money, and
mm-hmm.
people are scared of, extraterrestrials. And we've been putting out, radios, and we have antennas listening to space, and we've not picked up one signal. One.
Yeah.
Nothing.
And the
Zero.
Vatican has that telescope.
Please.
You know, the biggest in the world looking for them.
It's a joke. It's a joke. It's demons. Plain and simple, it's demons. That's all.
And I have a story to go with this, because there's an archbishop called Vigano. You know who he is, Archbishop Vigano?
No, I don't know who he is.
Well, he said, I think we did something on him once, but he said that vaccine victims are sacrificed on the altar of Moloch. Okay. Now, he said something interesting in the subtitle. He said, while the vast majority of Christianity is neatly and meekly and often even enthusiastically cooperating with the creation of the New World Order, then he put dash, better known today as the Great Reset, dash, Build Back Better, dash, Agenda 2030. There are a handful of people left in every denomination who see what is going on and dare to speak out against it. In the Catholic Church, Archbishop Vigano is the most outspoken opponent to this. And Vigano is now taking an unusual, hard stand against church leaders, especially Pope Francis, who he says is preaching a heretical anti-gospel and has turned the church into a servant of the New World Order. He said, you know, there's a whole, interview on this.
Right.
I didn't know if we should listen to that or not, because it's an archbishop. But
right.
He called it for what it was in here. You know, he said Francis is just taking these people right into, he called it, servant of the New World Order. Yeah. A servant of the New World Order, the Catholic Church. Well, the Catholic Church is wrong to begin with, you know. I mean, but the idea that this guy is really, he knew that the New World Order, the Great Reset, Build Back Better, Agenda 2030, he spoke out about all that. And I found that interesting, that he called it for what it was, you know.
Right.
Because not many people will do that. And he knows what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And he's speaking against Pope Francis. Now, he did an interview. It's like an hour and 25 minutes on the subject. I did not listen to it. Because, for one, he's an archbishop. I mean, you know, so I'm not going to believe much of what he says about, you know, the Catholic Church. But I think he's wise when it comes to this, where it's headed. You know, and taking what this Pope is doing to the Catholic Church.
Yeah.
Don't you?
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah, well, listen, all these
maybe
popes
not.
Are wacky. Are wacky. You know, John Paul II, Benedict XVI, they're all loopy.
Mm-hmm.
They're all nut jobs. You know,
but he thinks he's especially evil. He thinks I know he, I don't know if he's the one that did an interview with him. I'm not sure. We did a story on him about something. But he's seeing Francis as especially evil over the other ones.
Well, based on your research, Francis is a Jesuit, right?
Yes, exactly.
Right? I think that says it all. You did a whole series on the Jesuits, right?
Yep.
So, I mean, for him, for that archbishop to say he's evil, he's a Jesuit.
Yes.
Right?
And they're everywhere. They're in every denomination, these Jesuits.
There you go.
I'm telling you.
So, that's a no-brainer. I mean, bingo, you got that one right. It's not a revelation that he's evil. First of all, if you're the Pope, you're already evil. I don't care what Pope if you're a Pope, you're already evil.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, if you're a Pope from the Jesuit branch, you're super evil.
Yeah.
Right? So, hello, Mr. Where have you, Mr. Archbishop, where have you been? You know, maybe that Archbishop needs to listen to your show.
Maybe.
Right?
I can, yeah.
Yeah.
I can put an attachment on his interview.
Yeah, exactly. We're informed on, listen, we're informed on this side. We're informed.
You know.
So, that guy, he's not giving us a revelation. We already know that.
Yeah. Yeah. I might listen to that interview just to see what he says, just to see what he has to say. I mean, I thought, maybe we'll play that and dissect it, But, we might do that. I'll listen to it and see if it's worth taking it apart. Of course, he thinks that they're the mother church of everyone, if he's an archbishop, which he's, they aren't. I don't agree with that, but, they're the mother church and everyone needs to come back to them. I don't think so. So we know what that's all about. Okay, we're going to go to audio 2, and we're going to listen to a trailer of a new film coming out that's called Enemies Within the Church. And it will be released on November 2nd, 2021. Like I said, it's a trailer. So there's a premiere going on for this if you live within a reasonable distance of where it's going on. You're welcome to go. There is a welcome for people to go. It's a black tie event, and the admission is free, even though they'll probably take up a donation. They usually do with these, but, And it's in Sioux City, Iowa. I think it's at the Sioux City Orpheum, and that's at 528 Pierce Street, Sioux City, Iowa. That's November 2nd, beginning at 6:30 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. I think it's going to be good. I'm not sure who's in it, but I'm sure that if you went, you may run into Daryl Harrison and Virgil Walker from Just Thinking Ministries. I have a feeling they may go to this because it's dealing with the subject. I'm excited about this because we've just done a whole series on social justice. To find out that there's a movie coming out on social justice, Enemies Within the Church, I'm thrilled to find out about this.
Right,
because we're one group here trying to put the word out. You put a movie out and dig into this stuff, it will help a lot of people. You can refer them to the movie. So it's only 2 minutes and 31 seconds long, and it's Michael O'Fallon that's in this that I couldn't think of his name the other day. That I was trying to remember his name. And a lot of the research for this came from J.D. Hall, Jordan Hall.
Right.
And they give him credit for it in the movie. Not in this clip, but it's my understanding that he does at least get credit for his research for a change. Okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
So this is clip number two. Let's listen to this.
Okay. It's at the bottom.
What happened to the church, to the living, powerful, transformative, nation-shaking Christianity?
What they're trying to do is completely demolish Western civilization and then to rebuild it in a just society.
How do you break down American Christianity?
I think the problem today in our culture is many of our words have been co-opted and stolen and dumbed down and reversed.
Social justice is sold as something that it isn't. Critical race theory is sold as something that it isn't.
Whiteness has caused blindness of heart. Whiteness has caused blindness of heart.
When you preach victimization, it always leads to vengeance and vice. Us against them, me against you. I want my pound of flesh.
American churches today are where the universities were 10 years ago. Pretty heavily Marxist. They're not quite there yet, but they're well on the way. Many of the seminaries and Bible colleges are definitely already there.
That message that they're going out and taking the world is not, you need to repent of your sin, receive Christ. Instead, the message that you actually have is they are under the weight of racism or sexism or homophobia, and then we need to unify them together.
I'm gay. I'm 29. I'm a youth pastor in New Jersey.
I'm straight, and I'm also a youth pastor in New Jersey.
We're planning on sharing life together for the rest of our lives, which we're not totally sure what that looks like. Obviously, Nick is straight, and he does plan on getting married. When he has a wife one day, she'll make those decisions with us.
The future damage of what we're doing now is just going to be enormous.
The entire fabric of family, personal wealth, private property, all those things are out the door. And everything is the state. They believe the state is God.
They don't define justice the same way the scripture.
Oh, no. It's going to be an equality, all right. And it's going to be a totalitarian Marxist justice.
That was quite shocking.
Yes. What do you find shocking about it?
The gay guy and the straight guy working together.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
I think they were showing what's happening in the church, you know, where you have the gays and the straight working together.
Can I play that again? That was, let me just play this again.
Okay.
What happened to the church, to the living, powerful, transformative, nation-shaking Christianity?
What they're trying to do is completely demolish Western civilization and then to rebuild it in a just society.
How do you break down American Christianity?
I think the problem today in our culture is many of our words have been co-opted and stolen and dumbed down and reversed.
Social justice is sold as something that it isn't. Critical race theory is sold as something that it isn't.
Whiteness has caused blindness of heart. Whiteness has caused blindness of heart.
When you preach victimization, it always leads to vengeance and vice. Us against them, me against you. I want my pound of flesh.
American churches today are where the universities were 10 years ago. Pretty heavily Marxist. They're not quite there yet, but they're well on the way. Many of the seminaries and Bible colleges are definitely already there.
That message that they're going out and taking the world is not, you need to repent of your sin, receive Christ. Instead, the message that you actually have is they are under the weight of racism or sexism or homophobia, and then we need to unify them together.
I'm gay. I'm 29. I'm a youth pastor in New Jersey.
I'm straight, and I'm also a youth pastor in New Jersey.
We're planning on sharing life together for the rest of our lives, which we're not totally sure what that looks like. Obviously, Nick is straight, and he does plan on getting married. When he has a wife one day, she'll make those decisions with us.
The future damage of what we're doing now is just going to be enormous.
The entire fabric of family, personal wealth, private property, all those things are out the door. And everything is the state. They believe the state is God.
They don't define justice the same way the scripture.
Oh, no. There's going to be an equality, all right. And it's going to be a totalitarian Marxist justice.
Yeah, commercial, very well done. In two minutes, 30 seconds, well done.
What that clip of the guy that was straight, and they're showing that's in the church, the gay and the straight working together.
Right.
They're showing that this is what's happening in the church, you know? It was just another clip of all these things happening in the church, the enemies within the church. You know, working for the same cause. I think it's going to be interesting. I'll be glad to, you know, see it. And it's too bad. I would go. I would go get interviews if I could squeeze the time in to go to Sioux City, Iowa. I would go get interviews from everyone watching it, like, you know, Daryl and all them. But I'm not sure I have time for that. But everyone's welcome to attend the premiere. Everyone is welcome to that. So, you know, if you're near there, check it out. Check it out.
All right. All right. It's. I'm sure they're going to put a DVD series together. They're probably going to record this. And then, you know.
Well, they said the cameras will be rolling at the premiere, too. So, you know, this has been a long time. I didn't know what was going to be in this movie.
Right.
I knew a movie was coming out, Enemies Within the Church. But I think COVID, with all the COVID thing, it slowed up the premiere, you know, of it. There were a lot of things. People couldn't meet, get together, all this stuff, you know, because of COVID.
Right.
So, anyway. Okay, here's one I want you to handle. We're going to go to audio three. We're going to go right through the audio. I have quite a few stories I'll never get through, but this one I want to get in. Todd White says, I can't even say what he said, okay? It's that bad. And it's bleeped out in the audio. But he's saying that Jesus became a child porn, you know what, and a beast, you know what, on the cross. This is sickening, this Todd White. And so we're going to hear him blaspheme God, basically.
Right,
and what
he's
doing here is he took the scripture 2 Corinthians 5:21, and he twisted it. He gave it a different meaning. And the word became in that scripture, this man here, this Revealing Truth did the clip. I think he's called Revealing Truth. He did the clip of this. And he kind of says, well, it was out of ignorance. I hear where he's saying that Todd did it out of ignorance. No. I don't think that. Todd's a wolf, and he follows Kenneth Copeland. You know, he's like a descendant of Kenneth Copeland. The filthy words that he uses for Christ is blotted out, you know. And he will exegete scripture. The Revealing Truth, you know, we'll talk about the scripture and exegete it. But you're a teacher, and I trust your teaching, and I would like you to, you know, interpret it or exegete it after this, after we listen to the clip, if you don't mind.
Okay. All right, clip number three. I'm still stuck on clip two. That's going to be a good movie.
Well, it's got some of your favorites in it that I know. I know Michael O'Fallon is in there, and I know you really like him. So
he's an excellent speaker.
If it comes out, I'll send you one. How's that? Early Christmas.
That sounds good.
That sounds good.
Now, I hope it's not pricey. I hope they make it reasonable.
It don't matter, bro. I'll just send you one. It doesn't matter.
All right. Let's see here. Okay. Oh, boy. That guy, Todd White.
I'm telling you.
Okay, let's see. I'm trying to find the... Okay.
Audio
Jesus three. Became an inventor of evil. Okay, I found... I had to scroll down a little bit.
Yeah, I think it's at the... I think the it's actually at the bottom. The
right.
When you get down to the bottom is where the audio is.
Mm-hmm.
In it.
Right, right.
Okay?
Okay.
Hey everybody, Sean here, and I hope you're doing well. And thanks to Ralph for sharing this clip with us. Today we're going to review a video by Todd White on a topic that's debated even in solid Christian circles. It's just that how Todd says things is kind of creepy. But this is in regards to 2 Corinthians 5:21 that says, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us so that we in him might become the righteousness of God. There's two views on this. As Todd will say in an uncomfortable way, Jesus actually became every filthy sin of the world. And the other view, which I agree with, is that he was a sacrifice or sin offering, and we'll use some scripture to show this in a moment. But first, let's hear Todd.
Because let's never forget, there's all this stuff, like when we say Jesus who knew no sin became sin so that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus in Corinthians, right? Jesus became a gossip, a murderer, full of strife, deceit, and malice. It wasn't in his mouth, it was on his body. Oh, you have to hear this, man. Jesus, who knew no sin, became sin. Paul describes sin. Gossip, slander. Imagine Jesus as a gossip. You can't. He didn't do it. He became it. I'm like seeing this for the first time. Like I've read the scripture so many times when I'm seeing it. And I'm like, you became gossip. What?
I wish I had the donkey sound right now because this guy is a jackass.
Please do.
Because
it's not a misinterpretation with Todd, you know.
Yeah, he's basically doing the – Kenneth Copeland basically did the same thing.
Exactly.
I'm not saying that he's a Catholic or that this is Catholic doctrine, but this is like Catholicism where they actually say – the bread and wine actually becomes the blood and body of our Lord. That's how kooky this is, you know.
Yes, exactly.
Jesus did not become a gossiper. Jesus did not become a whoremonger. Jesus did not become gay. Jesus did not become a liar. Here's the thing. This is just so simple. Jesus cannot become those things because Jesus is God.
Exactly.
Right? Listen. Not only can God not become a liar, but the Bible says God does not lie.
Yeah.
Not only cannot God become a sinner, God does not sin.
Yep.
It's just this guy's a moron. guess those dreadlocks are just weighing too much. They're sucking up his brain.
Weighing his brain down.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay.
It's hard for us to think about it because Jesus never gossiped. But he became gossip. On the tree he became gossip. On the tree he became a slanderer. Did he slander? No, he became it. He became insolent. He became haughty. He became boastful. He became an inventor of evil. Jesus became an inventor of evil on that tree. Jesus became child pornography on the tree. Listen! Jesus became full of pornography on the tree. Jesus became a thief on the tree. Jesus became addiction on the tree. Jesus became a hater of God on the tree. What does it mean for him to become sin? Jesus became lost on the tree. Jesus became Satan worship on a tree. Are you hearing me? This is really hard to even say.
It's easy to say for a retard. You're retarded.
How could Jesus become a hater of God on the tree when Jesus was God?
Jesus said the last words of Jesus to God the Father was, Father, into mm-hmm. your hand I give my spirit.
Right.
So, you know, he wasn't cursing God. He wasn't hating God. He wasn't, you know, blaspheming God. He was saying, Father, I'm about to, you know, my spirit is about to detach
mm-hmm.
itself from the body. I deposit
mm-hmm.
my spirit in your safe hands. That
yes.
doesn't sound to me like a person who hates God.
Exactly.
It sounds to me like a person who trusts God. Right?
Yes. Yeah.
And the cuckoo sound, I thought the guy was doing the cuckoo sound because he's cuckoo, but I guess what the guy's doing is he's hiding his cuss words.
Exactly.
Right. I said, why is he doing the cuckoo sound? Is he saying he's cuckoo? But then I said, oh, he's cussing. So that's why he's got the cuckoo
yep.
sound. Okay.
Yep.
All right. Here it is.
What? It's hard for us to think about it because Jesus never gossiped. But he became gossip. On the tree he became gossip. On the tree he became a slanderer. Did he slander? No, he became it. He became insolent. He became haughty. He became boastful. He became an inventor of evil. Jesus became an inventor of evil on that tree. Jesus became child pornography on the tree. Listen!
See, when in Pentecostalism or in Charismania or in Cuckoo Land, where this guy is from, the more
mm-hmm.
you scream or the more you raise your voice, these preachers think that people are going to listen. Then, in fact, this is like, this reminds me of when Fred Price said Jesus put a gun in his mouth and blew his brains out.
Right.
And,
right.
you know,
the audience
cannot believe what the preacher's telling them.
Yeah.
The audience, listen, now this nut has some faithful followers, but even this
mm-hmm.
is too much for them to take in. You
yes.
can hear a
when
pin
he
drop there.
When he starts talking a child pornographer, that
right.
Jesus became that, I mean, and worse, it's worse.
Right.
So be thankful
right.
for the bleeps, that
sure,
the noise
sure.
he has in there,
mm-hmm.
some of the stuff. The people cannot believe it. And it's a clear, he doesn't understand the Trinity, for sure. I mean, you understand that right,
right.
off the bat. But It goes deeper. This is not a mistake with him. This is an agenda.
Oh, no. Listen, this guy.
This guy here is very graceful in what he says to Todd, but, you know, Todd's a wolf. There's no grace.
Listen, Todd.
I'm not extending
Todd,
any grace to this guy.
No, this guy, Todd White, is a tool of the devil. Showed a video, if I remember correctly, where he was trying to heal some guy's leg. A guy had a shortened leg,
mm-hmm.
and he was doing camera manipulations. Listen, when you're into that, you are a con man. You're a liar.
You're pulling our leg.
Yeah, absolutely. No kidding. Yeah, no kidding.
Literally.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, here's more.
Okay.
Jesus became full of pornography on the tree. Jesus became a thief on the tree. Jesus became addiction on the tree. Jesus became a hater of God on the tree. What does it mean for him to become sin? Jesus became lost on the tree. Jesus became Satan worship on a tree. Are you hearing me? This is really hard to even say, yet it's true. What does it mean that he who knew no sin became sin? Jesus became beast on a tree. Jesus became set on a tree. Oh my gosh! Jesus became every lustful thought on a tree. It's no joke, it's real. Jesus became chapter on a tree. Jesus became Christian murderer on a tree. Jesus became sacrificing on a tree. Jesus, our Jesus became that on the tree. That's what it means. He who knew no sin became sin.
So Todd, as well as others in the NAR and Word of Faith movement, and some in respectable denominations, also believe this. So let's look at what the Bible says. We know that verses like 1 John 3:5 say that in Christ there is no sin. He came to take away our sin. 1 Peter 2:22 says Jesus committed no sin and there was no deceit in his mouth. 1 Peter 2:24 says he bore our sins in his body. And some will say that Jesus became the greatest of all sinners because he bore every sin known to mankind. But Jesus in no way became a sinner or literally became sin. Hebrews 13:8 tells us that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And in John 1:1, he is and always will be the second person of the Trinity. So he didn't change for even a moment of being who he is. If we go back to the sin offering in Leviticus, we'll notice a few things. First, the sin offering is already considered holy before it's offered. Second, anything that touches the flesh will also be considered holy. And after it's killed, the priests are allowed to eat it, and it's still considered to be holy. So if God made Jesus to be a sin offering, obviously he didn't make Jesus detestable or so horrible that God had to look away for even a moment. Just as the sin offering in Leviticus is most holy at all times and never loses its holiness, when Jesus became our sin offering, he was holy before the cross, while on the cross, and after he died. So this sin offering is the language in 2 Corinthians 5:21 when God made him who had no sin to be sin for us. It's referring to Christ as a sin offering. Jesus became that most holy offering on the cross. He didn't become a sinner or sin itself. He was treated as a sinner, just as the sin offering took the sins of the people on itself. Yet the sin offering didn't become a sinner or sin. It became the substitute for sinners. I've seen some articles argue that Christ's sacrifice couldn't possibly represent a sin offering, but we see in Romans 3:25 that Christ became a sacrifice of atonement, or a sacrifice for sin, or a propitiation by his blood. And when we look at the Greek, it's clear, a sin offering. So no, Jesus did not actually become every sin known to mankind, nor did he become a sinner. I think this is strong scriptural evidence that he did not become sin, but was an offering and a substitute for what we deserve. So we'll leave it here for today, but as always, leave your thoughts and comments below, and until next time, take care and God bless.
You see, the same thing happened with Kenneth Copeland. Kenneth Copeland was preaching a sermon about Moses lifting up the brazen serpent in the wilderness, John mm-hmm. chapter 3. And Jesus says, as Moses
right.
lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so he says, that moron, Kenneth Copeland, says, you see, Jesus referred himself to that brazen serpent. You see, he became the devil on the cross. No, he didn't, stupid.
Yeah. That's a lack of understanding, isn't it?
Yeah,
yep.
And it's the same thing here. The young man, presented the proper argument. Jesus mm-hmm. does not become sin. Jesus never became a serpent on the cross.
Right.
He never, no. So, again, you see types and shadows.
Exactly.
And,
that's
it's just like when John the Baptist pointed to Jesus and said to two of his disciples, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world." Is Jesus really mm-hmm. a lamb? Is Jesus really does Jesus have a fleece? When we see Jesus, is he going to have a fleece?
No.
Is Jesus going to bleat like a sheep? No. It's metaphorical language.
Exactly.
You see, and this guy is, Pentecostal moron 101. If you were doing a course on, charismatic or non-morons 101, he'd be on the top of the list.
Yeah. Well, obviously, they can't, without the Holy Spirit, understand the scriptures. Let's be blunt. They can read the scriptures but not understand them. So they're not going to understand the types and shadows, right? They
right.
don't understand, like, even Levitical law. They don't understand, what was practiced back then. They can't understand that all has meaning.
Right.
It's metaphors, like you said. They don't understand any of that. So what they read is just, they're trying to interpret themselves what they read without the power of the Holy Spirit to interpret it for them. And they're making a mess out of it, But then they get a bunch of people who are believing this, and they're totally wrong. I mean, it's crazy, isn't it? I mean, I think he knows what he's doing. I really believe that. He's a heretic.
Listen,
I don't care what anybody says. He's terrible.
Listen, Fred Price died, right?
Right.
So you need morons to take his place.
Yeah.
See, so when it's like in the Lord's church, when a good pastor dies, when a Martin Lloyd-Jones dies, well, God's got to
mm-hmm.
have someone to take Martin Lloyd-Jones' place. It's the same
right.
thing when a false teacher of the caliber of a Fred Price dies, Satan has to raise up another one. Well, lo and behold,
yeah.
there you have Todd White,
yeah.
as stupid, as
yeah.
moronic, as retarded as Fred Price.
That's
right.
Right? That's right.
That's it.
Yep.
Just again,
so
this guy is just
it's again. Just as
but
the Lord brings up pastors,
yeah.
replaces them in his church, Satan has this counterfeit operation
right.
going on.
Yeah. And like you said before, we're not giving him a pass. We're not saying he might be confused. No, he operates. He works for Satan. That's his job. His job is to introduce garbage like this because he works for Satan. He's demonically inspired.
Yeah. This is like we're fighting the mob, honestly.
Right.
It's like we're fighting the mob here. You know, we're on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable. Right. But I wanted to play that because, you know, I've heard a lot of people that were not connected to Todd White really believe that, you know. So it's been said before. Maybe it was Kenneth Hoplin. I don't know. But I've heard people say that before. He takes it to a new level, you know. He had to introduce in that filth. That's what he had to introduce. It wasn't just he became this. No, Todd introduces filth into it. That's why you know it's from the devil.
Filthy
words, filthy language. Mm-hmm. So it had to be bleeped out. He introduced it, all that into that video. So, you know, you have to look at this stuff and say, look, this is crazy. And I think that scripture needed to be exegeted because there's too many people in churches that are sitting in maybe halfway solid churches that believe that, what Todd said.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but even those people, that was a good point, were having a hard time listening to him. It reminded me of Creflo Dollar when he said, remember when he says, horses begot, you know, they beget horses, cats, you know, and he was doing the little God thing. And they put the camera on the audience, or on the audience, that's about it, on the audience or the congregation, and those people were, their mouth was hanging open. They couldn't believe it.
Sure.
So when God begot you, who are you? And he was insinuating they were God, small d.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Same kind of thing with Todd there. So, you know, craziness, isn't it?
Super crazy.
You know,
super
crazy.
Yeah.
This is Super Crazy Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I don't know if we have time. We have one more audio. It's 3:38. I mean, I have tons of news. We might do news next week again. What do you think about that? Is that okay with you? Not okay?
That sounds good. If that's how the Lord's leading you, we'll do news next week.
Well, there's a lot of news that, you know, and I just wanted to show how these people are really going downhill. I mean, it's really bad. It was bad before, but it's really bad now. We'll do a quick audio. It's only 3 minutes and 38 seconds. It's audio 4. And, you know, I noticed every time there's a horrific crime, it's being used to change laws. Now, you think about the series we just did on BLM and horrific crimes and how it changes laws. This is a pattern, you know. So they exploit violent crimes all the time, and this happened in the UK just the other day. So if you want to play this, this is Hugo Talks again, and it's called Perspective. It's your perspective on things.
Okay, here it is.
Hello, you're listening to Hugo Talks. So today we have seen the death of politician Conservative MP Sir David Ames has died after being stabbed at his constituency surgery in Essex. Police said a 25-year-old man was arrested on suspicion of murder after the attack at a church in Lay-on-Sea. Now, this is a terrible thing, and commiserations to the family and friends. So far, there is no details released about what or how or why this happened. So I won't comment on that. At the moment, this story is now getting 24/7 blanket coverage on the news, non-stop. And what I want to highlight are perspectives, looking at these things from a statistical and logical point of view. Now, last year, 2020, there were 275 homicides using a knife or a sharp instrument in the UK. predominantly knives, I would imagine. That's what, about one every 2 days? One every other day? Three a week? Throughout the entire year? This is a terrible thing, but it's not rare. It happens basically every other day in the UK. But you don't hear about it every other day, especially not in the manner we are today. Now, I don't know what does this say? Are they saying certain lives are more valuable than others? Because that's how it seems when something like this is reported in such a way, while other similar cases of deaths every other day throughout the year, deaths from knife crime are not reported most of the time, and they certainly are not reported in this way. And I'm already hearing certain politicians and reporters talking about what should be done, talking about hate speech online. I'm not sure how that is to blame. How stopping and searching people in the street, etc., could be needed. So already we are hearing some quite big reactions being put out, which, if agreed to, would need policies and new laws. Now, if you were to say that politicians should have more protection with the public after this, then that makes sense. But again, these crimes are happening all the time. They happen every other day, going by the government's statistics. So if you are going to start talking about bringing in policies that are going to lead to restricting the public, well, why are you talking about that now? Why does it take this happening to an MP for all of a sudden, for all of these reactions to come in, while 275 people died the same way last year, and nobody was really saying anything about it then? It's all about perspective, something that the mainstream media don't do. You can't remove knives from the world. It's not possible. It's the hatred in the person holding the knife. That's what we need to look at. But I would imagine that this will be used to disassociate the public even more so from an ever increasingly tyrannical government. As always, thanks for listening. Come and subscribe to HugoTalks.com, and I'll see you later.
Interesting.
Good point. See, it's not about that. There's a pattern here going on.
Right.
It's not about any individual. It's about taking and exploiting acts of violence like this to change laws and put restrictions on people. So the same amount of people died in the UK the year before, but everybody that's dying now from any act of violence in the UK is being exploited over and over and over again so they can change laws that restrict people and take rights away from them. That's
sure.
What this is being used for. That's
right.
It. You
right.
Got to see it for what it is.
They're looking for an excuse, right? They're looking for an excuse
mm-hmm.
to clamp down even more.
Yes.
Right?
Everything. Yes.
Yeah. Anything that they can use to say, okay, we're gonna have to restrict you here.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to use whatever they can.
Yes. That's it. And the only answer is resistance to certain things. And I'm not talking about fighting or anything like that. But the problem for them is resistance. When people refuse to get in line with all these crazy rules and regulations and things that they're imposing on the people, when they refuse to do that, it makes it difficult for them. They want you complacent, you know, so they can bring in their agenda. And they're having a hard time.
Yeah, I think people have had enough. I think people are, whenever Fauci comes on, they just say, just go away.
Yeah.
You know, they're tired of Fauci. They're tired of, we have this new governor, Hochul. We're already tired of her.
Mm.
We're tired.
Really?
You know, please. But the problem is that what's the alternative? What's better than Hochul? You see?
Yeah.
They're all kooky. They're all nuts.
Yeah.
That's the problem. See, that's the problem. Okay, so so here you are. You want to get a divorce from the Joker. Okay, but when you divorce the Joker, who's left? The Penguin, or the Riddler? Are you any better off?
You always have an enemy out there.
Right. I mean, right. I mean, it's are you any better off? No, you're not any better off.
No. Do you know that even the leftist fact checkers right now, they're trying to suppress satire and comedy by claiming it's misinformation. So they're trying to get rid of comedy because they're saying, no, it's not true. It's misinformation, comedy. Comedy, you can't joke. And we're going to be in big trouble.
Right.
Big trouble.
Right.
Strike. No matter what.
Yep.
So, yeah, but think about that. You can't even have comedy anymore because they're saying that's misinformation. When they're the ones who are giving you misinformation, they're promoting that. It's their information. They only want their information out, nothing else. So, you know, we're going to live in some crazy time. So I have to say.
Yeah, they want, see, these people are tyrants. They just want to strip you of all your rights. They don't want you to, and people are just sick and tired of having these politicians who do not practice what they preach.
Yeah.
They're just sick and tired of having these people tell you, me, everybody what to do. Leave us alone. Please, leave us alone.
Right. That's all we ask.
That's it.
That's
leave us alone.
That's all we ask. Yep.
You know, if you want to boss, like Hochul, if you want to boss somebody around, go boss your husband around. Boss him around.
Why not?
Or your governor, Whitmer, right? I mean, if she wants to boss somebody, boss
go whip
her,
your husband.
You know, go boss him around. Leave us alone.
Right.
It's, you know.
Right. Yeah.
That's it. Because, look, if you go to church, somebody in church is trying to boss you around.
Yeah.
Because that's the other thing. You know, wherever you go, it makes no difference what segment of society you go to. Somebody's trying to boss you around.
That's right. That's
somebody.
Right.
So,
yep.
Crazy. It's crazy. It's crazy.
Yep.
Well, great show as always.
Thank you.
I hate to see the brothers go, Virgil and Daryl.
Yep. We'll have them back. They have some good things.
Yeah, they, you know, their audio was awesome. I would not have known that Black Lives Matters was a religious tool of the devil. So I learned a lot through that audio. And, of course, today you sprinkled in the news there, and my goodness, things are ugly. Things are ugly out there. And that Todd White.
Definitely.
Oh, boy. What? Oh, boy. Listen, when the schools open up again, when COVID is over, the schools open up, we got to sign up Todd White for special education. We have to have one of those little yellow buses.
Yellow bus.
go pick him up because that guy is stupid.
He is.
Stupid.
He is.
Yep. All right, my
crazy,
sister.
Crazy.
You have the last word.
Well, I would just say have a wonderful day. You know, do whatever you can. Love Jesus. Preach the word. Have a great week. See you next week. Bye.
to bear the dreadful curse for my soul, to bear the dreadful curse for my soul. When I was
sing his love for me and through